time for What's Up with opposition leader Simon Bridges.
I was just thinking about Christmas presents for you, Simon, and I was thinking, do you need any new bits for your drums?
I keep saying this, I haven't done it yet, but I might buy myself, I almost hate to say this because I've never liked them, but an electronic drum kit.
Oh,
yeah. I haven't got one at the moment, but I just, you know, it's just sort of a middle-aged man thing, isn't it? You buy one of those and I could put it in my garage and I plug it in.
You could put it in your office, man. You could put it in your office. It'd be awesome.
People might not take me seriously. I don't know.
I think I would. I would.
Buy one.
Very quickly, favorite song to drum along to?
Oh, you know, probably. I was just thinking that the other day because someone asked me. Probably Phil Collins.
That's really
middle-aged, isn't it?
But emotional drumming. He's a drummer.
My wife read his bio, and he's wrecked his body playing the drums, right? You know, day in, day out. Several hours a day, his arms are no good, his back's no good. That's dedication to a cause, man.
It is. I don't know how drummers drum, to be honest. I've got no idea how it works. But let's get down to your other career that you've got. Leading the opposition, leading the National Party
singing.
In New Zealand.
Karaoke singing.
If you want to get on to karaoke singing, I'm more than happy. What's your big hitter? What's your big hitter song?
Oh, it used to be a bit of Tom Jones, eh?
Did it?
In the day. You don't have to have a very hot, wide range with that. And if you go low, you'll probably be okay. Anyway, moving right along.
I was going to say, well, mine's hopelessly devoted to you, and you need a sort of higher range for that one. There's a bit more. But let's talk about the issues in the Parliament. Let's talk about, very relevant. Overnight, there's been a revelation that there was an incident at a post National Party event there where a young Nat there was a sexual assault charge laid on by a 17-year-old on a member or a young Nat. I'm not sure how the young Nats thing works, whether it's a membership thing or whether it's you've done the right thing. You've ousted that person.
I don't know who the person is. But, you know, I've sought assurances from the National Party, if you like, because I'm sort of, if you like, leader of the parliamentary part of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, very simply, you know, there was a function in Auckland. Everything was done right there. So there was a health and safety policy. The young Nat's got a very good, I hate the word, but processes on these things.
Yep.
So, you know, they had IDing, they had more food than was necessary. It was a cash bar, you know, they ran through and nothing untoward there. And then the allegation is that there was an incident after that. As soon as the party found out, they went to, through a third party, made clear any support, etc., necessary. You know, we wanted to provide that and also encouraged that the person go forward to the police. And now that's, as I understand it, certainly that's happened.
Yes, I mean, it couldn't really come at a worse time, but you must be happy that things all, the process went as, and everything's gone now as well. What was a 17-year-old doing at an after party where there was alcohol being served? Though, do you think that the National Party or the Young Nats have to take some responsibility for that? Even though I know it was an after party, but I mean, it's like a school ball after party, isn't it? Same sort of thing.
I don't know anything about this person, and that's, you know, there. And I mean, no criticism on this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's entirely appropriate, but it's their call in a sense. They, you know, a right to anonymity around these things.
Of course,
so
yeah.
I don't know the details. All I would say is I've asked, and it seems very clear to me that there was, as I say, there was actually IDing. We'd asked and been clear with the bar about that. Of course, bars have legal obligations about the IDing and so on.
So the after party was actually at a bar, was it?
Oh, no, I'm not talking about the after. It wasn't, and look, I think after party would be wrong from my sense of it. I mean, I think we're talking about, well, in truth, I don't know a lot about, but a small number of people after a function.
Sure. And how does it differ from the Labor Party incident that caused such a hullabaloo sort of...
I mean, look, I, well, I'm very loath to draw comparisons. They're obviously both, use whatever word you want, but regrettable situations. Yeah. But I think there is a difference in as much as what the young Nats were responsible for in terms of a function was, you know, done right, and after the alleged incident, I think was again right, and was I think real caring about how it was handled.
Sure.
Okay. Whereas I think the case would be on the Labor one, that was actually at the event, the camp, I think it was, wasn't it? And so the responsibilities there are different and are greater. Put it this way, we're responsible for what we're responsible for, and here I think that's a function, and I think it's our handling of it once we found out about what happened.
When this is something that's always fascinated me, because I know that when you become a member of the National Party, especially if you you become a working member within Parliament of the National Party, yep. There's a certain amount of vetting, a certain amount of double checking your credentials. How does who's responsible for the young Nats? Because that's essentially a group riding on the coattails of an established party, isn't it? So, you can't be responsible for their behaviour, but at the same time, you sort of have to be, don't you? Because of...
Well, there are...
But no, I'm not saying you sort of have to be, but I wonder who is in charge of them. How do you know that there's not just nutters getting involved there for the wrong reasons?
I think it's like joining a university club, you know? It's sort of like anything...
Apart from it's called the Young Nationals, though.
No, absolutely. My simple point is, you know, people want to become a member... That's good, right? We all want members, whether it's the fencing club or whatever the heck it is, right? So you sort of want that. I wouldn't say there's strong betting at that stage. Now, where there is very strong betting, and it's never going to be perfect, it's the same for all the other political parties, is around actually becoming a candidate and those sort of things. And then, you are put through the ringer about, you know, have you done anything illegal, you know, the sort of issues that would be of, you know... the concern, you know, around your wider conduct and all that sort of stuff. Now, that'll never be perfect. So they're different. And to just say, you know, the truth about a function like the one that happened, I don't know the ins and outs. But my assumption is you could go along if you were a young Nats member. But actually, you wouldn't have had to have been a member. It was at
it was an after thing. Yes.
Even the actual function. You know what? If you, I think this is reasonably unlikely, Mikey. But if you wanted to come along to a young Nats sex function, because you said, you know what, I'm really
that's assuming that I haven't already.
Well, and the other thing I would say to you in a policy sense for the young Nats is we want them to be pushing the envelope in a way. You know, I remember when I was a young Nat. Sadly, a very long time ago, you know, the issues, funnily enough, they're the same kind of issues we're debating today. It was decriminalisation of marijuana, it was euthanasia, it was prostitution reform.
Capital gains tax back then as well?
Probably was, right? I mean, one thing that's true is a young Nat should be interested in a lower tax base for all New Zealanders and more freedom. But those were the sort of issues.
The capital gains tax has come up to the surface again. Looks like you said your quote is that the government are warming up to capital gains tax. I say good, go the capital gains tax. Why not? What is the big deal?
Get those capitalists.
I don't think so. Get those capitalists. Stop glad handing the capitalists.
I just look at this, and some people say, oh, you're too early. Wait and see what they do. But I can already tell, I think, a couple of things. Firstly, cost of living is a massive issue. People are really worried. Rents, petrol, all of these things.
Well, cost of living is a massive issue, but not really for the well-to-do.
Well, let's come back to that.
Way of saying it, but, you know.
But my high-level point is simply this, okay? So cost of living is an issue. A big part of that, in fact, part of the government controls is tax. So I look at it and say when they're getting $5, $6 billion more, a surplus at the moment, they don't need more taxes. They've got more than enough. And so we're saying no new taxes announced.
When in history can you think of one time when the wealthiest part of society have not been whinging about how much tax they pay?
Okay, I've got a very clear answer for you on that, on the capital gains tax. If you reckon the really wealthy, the people that you're thinking of, with the several million dollar homes in a variety of parts of Auckland, are going to be badly affected by a capital gains tax, I reckon you're dreaming, right? Because actually, here's a very real example for you. If you've got a $5 million house in Remuera and you decide to extend or put on the tennis court and spend, I don't know, 800 grand on doing that and put up the fancy lights, you won't pay a single additional dollar in tax or capital gains tax. Whereas actually, if you're on the West Coast...
But if you've got 15 units and you're turning them over every couple of years, making 50,000 bucks or 100,000 bucks a time you turn them over, then you're making, not paying any tax on that. Then,
well, I reckon it's this simple. You'll destroy the incentive for people to get ahead, and I don't buy your line that it's sort of rich fat cats. I reckon actually...
No, like I said, that's a Victorian way of looking at it. But my point is this. There's never been a time when you don't hear the wealthiest parts of society crying about how much tax they pay.
But it's not. I actually, you know who I reckon will like what I said the most? I don't think it is the wealthier people in society. I reckon it's more blue collar, those in the middle, those in West and South Auckland, who with the petrol taxes and so on, maybe have a home, maybe have a small business, which definitely has the prospect under a capital gains tax after they've paid all their taxes on their income. Perhaps they've got one or two workers, their income. At the end of it, all they'll have is a nest egg of a small business. Let's say it's worth $1 million. Now, that may sound like a lot, like today it's not. That's what gets them through retirement. Should they pay a third tax on it after 40 years in that business of struggling away? I don't think that's fair.
A third? Is that what they're proposing? A third of it?
I think that's right. I think it's somewhere like 25%, 33%.
Well, that's somewhat grunty, but yeah. But
I mean, obviously, ultimately, we don't know because they haven't said they're doing it. But I just thought, let's be clear to New Zealanders right now in advance, because I reckon they'll come out in February, the tax working group, and say, yep, if you want to do this, here's what you do. And I think the government will go it. I wanted to get out in front and have some clear principle positions of what we think.
And say that you're onto their game. The very quickly before we go...
I'm no fool, Mikey.
You have to get up pretty early in the morning. Very quickly, Trevor Mallard... Well, interesting that it's Trevor Mallard introducing it, but a very timely... I'm sure that you must agree, a very timely inquiry into the workplace safety and bullying and just standards of the workplace safety in Parliament, which is a big call. And you know, I've heard stories eternally from Parliament about, from that building saying about all sorts of horrible things, and it's must be nice to know that maybe this might make a change to that.
Yeah, I welcome it. I mean, I think Parliament is just this, I'm sure you've been there, it's just a weird place, really.
Horrible.
I mean, it's like, I said to the Virginia, it's like a boarding school, you know, you come in, it's very long hours, you know, it's big debate on things, so some heat is inevitable, right, because you're passionate about things, but obviously we've got to have a situation...
Anywhere that's a hub of influence and power like that is can so easily turn, you know?
Yeah, and I do just want to say, though, having heard what you say, I for myself don't think, you know, I look around the National Party, I used to be the National Party, I don't think there is a bad culture. You know, I think I was just talking to one of my staff who said, you know, frankly, she come from the media, and she thinks that, you know, the culture that she's got here is much better than some other organisations she's worked in.
It'd be nice to get everything out in the open, deal with it and start afresh so that for the next 10 generations of politicians, this fine country of ours has, so that they don't have to put up with that nonsense.
Absolutely right.
Cool. Hey, Simon, thanks for talking to us again. We'll speak to you in a fortnight's time.
Cheers, man.
That was What's Up with Opposition Leader Simon Bridges.